All right, so I want to briefly touch on the related topic of food, and this is food in moderation. We're trying to teach what God's Word says about food and health, food in moderation, food and outreach, food and intimate fellowship. Wasn't that an amazing sermon last week from Matt? I mean, that was just powerful, so profound, so deep. And I was trying to I usually take an excerpt from every sermon to put in the gate, and as I was going through, I just couldn't bear to cut out any part of it. It was so rich, so I put the entire sermon in the gate. But anyway, thank you, Matthew. So today I'm going to, I'm going to just talk to you about some verses that deal with moderation, because any good thing that God gives us, any gift that God has given to his people, Satan will try to twist and turn and change, because he doesn't want you to enjoy it the way God says so. In Psalm 16, where does it say? You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word pleasures and joy belong to God. He takes credit for giving all the pleasures of life. Like James says, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or variation or shadow due to change. And that includes food, includes marriage. That's why I mentioned to you last week in 1 Timothy 4 that Paul told Timothy and warned him, saying, the day is going to come. The Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith and they'll devote themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars. And these people forbid marriage and they require abstinence from foods, which are things that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So marriage, sex and marriage, was God takes credit for the beauty of the sexual relationship. It's completely his. He owns it. He has the copyright on it. No one can claim that they invented the beauty of the physical relationship between a man and a woman. The only thing that Hollywood can do is change the way you see it, or change the who it's done with, and change the metaphor so that it's no longer the original design that God has. But Satan cannot come up with pleasure on his own. He cannot come up with a gift like marriage or a gift like food. And so what does he do? He tries, okay, if you're going to eat food and enjoy it, he wants to steer you away from thanking God for it and instead maybe use it as an addiction where it's too important to you, or to maybe teach you that, oh, I have to give up food because if I want to please God, I have to not eat meat, or I have to, like some vegetarians or some, even in Christendom, there are, like this church here, the Seventh-day Adventists, not all of them, but some of them are vegetarian because they think it's better and more pleasing to God not to eat meat. But if I have an opportunity, I try to tell them, look, Jesus ate fish and he ate lamb. So if Jesus can eat it, it's okay. And thankfully, he actually said later on, you can have pork and bacon too, which was really cool. I'm so glad I'm a Gentile and I can enjoy all those things, as well as lobster, right? Okay, he created these things. Everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected when it is received with thanksgiving. Then we find here that even though God made it, there is warning on how to treat the gifts of God and how to utilize them, how to enjoy them, and not to make them into idols, right? Because you can take a gift that God gave you, something very good, and turn around and begin worshiping it or making it your focus instead of God. I think that's why the Lord was desirous of, when he gave Abraham his, what was his big treasure in life? What was the biggest gift that Abraham was ever given? His son, Isaac, right? And that was the very thing that God asked him to sacrifice, because he wanted to make sure, does Abraham actually love my gift more than me, or will he love me? If I put him side by side and he has to choose between the two, which one will he choose? And he chose God, even over his greatest gift. So here it says in Proverbs, I'm going to read a lot from Proverbs because there's a lot in Proverbs about gluttony, about drunkenness, and about excess, right? So if we deal with the principle of moderation, Dolly, Proverbs is a great book. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it, right? Proverbs 25:16. If you have found honey, eat enough that's for you, your normal portion, but don't eat more than that because your stomach may actually vomit it out. There's so much sugar in that little bit that your body could say, this is too much, I can't handle it. I can't create the insulin required to digest this much sugar in that honey. Again, in Proverbs 25:27, it says, it is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. And then in Proverbs, I think it's, oh, does it go on in 25? Yeah. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, an adulteress is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber and increases the traitors among mankind. One time I talked with a young man who's a Christian, and he wanted to get married with a girl that he loved, but then he saw an escort, and it just about destroyed him, about destroyed his whole chance to be married. Because one person, one wrong relationship. Fortunately, he repented of that, and the girl forgave him. But he's mentioning three things here: drinking, eating, and prostitutes. Those are the three ways that of sex you can have excess of, or take more than what God has for your share. That's why he says, you have one woman, look at her only, don't look at with lust with anyone else, and she will always be sufficient for you. Then he goes on to say, concerning drinking, this is a really interesting chapter, the end of chapter 23. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine. And then he gives this exhortation. Do not look at wine when it is red and when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the top midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. Right? The effect of alcohol is that you can't feel. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. This is an addict, right? An alcoholic we're talking about here. Drug addiction is not a new thing. It started way back. The first time that people were inebriated, we see it actually in the book of Genesis. There are two examples of people getting drunk in the book of Genesis, and both of the examples had drastic consequences. Does anyone remember who it was that got drunk? In the book of Genesis. Noah, no, not his sons, Noah did, right? Noah had a vineyard, he drank from it, he enjoyed the wine, he drank a tad too much. And then he uncovered himself, and then there's this embarrassing story, like, what is this doing here in the book of Genesis, you know? I had a Kurdish man who was studying the Bible for the very first time, and I said, why don't you just start with Genesis? So he went home and started reading it, and in 1 week's time, he was done with the entire book. And Haidar came to me and said, Aydanabi, this can't be God's word. I said, why is that? He said, because there is a prophet who slept with his two daughters. I'm going, whoa, what are you? Oh, Lot, of course. Ay, ay, ay. I said, hey, let me tell you something about the Bible. The Bible tells the truth even when the prophet is doing wrong. And he had, of course, been told the Islamic idea is that prophets never sin. And I had to correct him and say, no, the Bible says prophets will speak the truth and God will call them to be a prophet. But if they sin, they do sin. And when they sin, God disciplines them and they have consequences. And what Lot did with his daughters was not good. But that's what happened when he was drunk. His daughters gave him a drink and they said, we have to sleep with our dad to give children. And then they had Moab and they had Ammon. Each daughter had one son, and they became the Ammonites and the Moabites, right? And later on, those were some of the greatest enemies that David ever had to fight to protect Israel. And when Noah woke up from his wine drunkenness, he realized he'd taken all his clothes off, and one of his sons saw him, and it was the most embarrassing thing. He goes out and curses his son, and then, oh my gosh, you just think, the first family after all that flood, and something happens, and it's related to drinking in excess. So that's why it says here, do not look at wine when it is red. When is it red? It's undiluted, right? You get a bottle of red wine, it's pretty red, pretty dark. And at the time that this was written in Israel, most of the time when you had wine, you mixed it with water. Three parts water, one part wine. So you had like a rosé or something, or what we'd say, sangria. Maybe put fruit juice in it. Oh, sangria sounds so good, David. Let's make that next Sunday. That's... Okay, just so you guys know, I have my limits on what I drink, okay? I have my limits. My sons-in-law took me to one of the restaurants there that has all the beers, you know, all the different beers of the world. So I said, I'll take one German dark brown beer. And so they brought it to me, dark beer. So it was so delicious, and I drank it. And I don't drink beer that often, but I drank the whole cup, you know. So at the end, I'm going, hey, this is really good. And I, whoa, Chris, I'm glad it's not Sunday. Could you help me out? You know, no, it wasn't that bad. But I said, okay, that's it. No more whole glasses of beer, you know. Because they gave me kind of a tall one. I think it was like over 16 ounces. It was pretty. So I said, okay, next time, David, if you're going to have a beer, I'll split one with you. And so, okay. So that's what I've learned. A half a glass of wine or a half a tall glass of beer. Or as one time happened, I was with all these Alawite Muslims who hold the Sunni Muslims in disdain because they won't drink. So they give me some raki. Raki is really like anise, like vodka, right? It's very powerful, and they mix it with a little bit of water, and it looks like milk. So I realized if I don't drink anything, they're going to think I'm just like the Sunnis, that I'm this fanatic legalist. And I finally figured out the trick. I said, yeah, I'll take one. Thank you. Give me one glass. And this is a small shot glass, and I put it on my table, and I sip it the entire night, and I never fill it again, and I don't get drunk. I don't get tipsy. So that's how I dealt with that. So anyway, the point is, how do we show moderation? You have to figure out your own limits. What is the limit for you? But the idea is, whatever makes you, like it says here, you will utter things, perverse things. When you're starting to say things that you regret, you know you've drunk too much, right? If you have complete control over your body, or what I tell myself is, I want to have so little that I can drive home still. I don't want to have to appoint, you know, somebody else to be the driver of the night or whatever. Designated driver. I want to be able to say, I have so little alcohol in me that if the cops stop me, I can breathe, do the thing, I'll pass it, I'll be okay. All right, then it says here, two things I ask of you, deny them not before to me before I die. Remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Isn't that interesting? This man prays, I think his name is Agur, and he says, feed me with the food that is what I need. Now, Wade, can I tell a personal thing about you? Have you have your mentoring thing? Wade and I meet every 2 or 3 weeks to have his mentoring time because he's working on a DMN project, and so I'm his mentor, field mentor. And he tells me in his journal how he's done every day, and in there is one category called eating. How did I eat today? And so I think it's like 9 out of 10 days you say, I ate the right amount, or I didn't eat too much. And every now and then I'll read it. Oh, I shouldn't have eaten that whole burrito. It was a little bit big or whatever. But I just love his honesty, not just with me, but with himself. He actually keeps a log of what he's been eating to make sure he tries to stay under what he considers the normal amount for him, for his size, whatever. So he says here, feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. This man who asked that prayer, interestingly, John, this is a man who said, don't make me rich, right? Don't make me poor, but don't make me rich, Lord, because I'm afraid if you make me really wealthy, I will become so full of everything I need that I'll forget that I need you. But if you make me really poor, then I have to deal with the temptation of compromising my faith to get money to help me feed my family. I don't want that either. Give me just enough income that I can live on it. I don't know many people that have prayed that prayer. Right? We just want, well, Lord, it's okay if you want to give me a little bit, you know. Right? What is it? If I were a rich man. Right? He says, if it's a curse, curse me with that God, right? Give me the riches. Go ahead and hand it to me. I'll handle it. You know, I'll be happy. No, the Lord knows if we had everything we wanted, everything, the time would come where we wouldn't need him. That's why it's such a powerful and good prayer. All right, so the end of today is I'm going to show you a couple things. One thing I want to encourage you to do, these are just practical suggestions. I go to McDonald's probably once. No, that's not true. I go to McDonald's several times a week because of their iced tea, but I don't always get food. I like to get their tall iced tea for $1, and I get it what's called half cut, right? You can have half sweet and half not sweet, and then it's perfect with extra ice, so I can have it all the afternoon. But I found online a website that says the calorie counter for every single thing in McDonald's. It's very interesting, okay? So they put one packet of sugar, it's 15 calories. One 16-ounce Coke, right? That's a small Coke, is 150 calories. So that's 10 packets of sugar in that one little drink that you're drinking. But if you have an iced tea and you put in 3 packets of sugar in iced tea, you're drinking 1/3 of a Coke in terms of the calories, right? And that's a sweet tea. I mean, sometimes I can do with 2 packets of sugar or whatever. But you think about that if you want to have a better handle on what you're eating and stuff like that. Going online, looking at calorie counters, I mean, I think there's caloriesomething.com that has almost all the major chains of restaurants and everything they serve, so you can see what's there. One of the things that really shocked me, for instance, is at McDonald's, I like their frappe and I like their iced coffee. The frappe is 500 calories. The iced coffee is 179. So it's like, okay, I'll get the iced coffee. They're both delicious. Why not get the one that's less calories? But I want to show you a couple. Are they on, Matt? Do we have pictures? No problem. Okay. I had a couple of pictures of salads that I thought would be interesting, because one of the things that I'm trying to do myself, I'm under 200 pounds. I lost 20 pounds with my amputation, so I'm 170. That's one way you can lose weight. Just go to the hospital, say, just cut off my leg. I woke up, I was 20 pounds lighter. I was 190. I woke up 170. I should have submitted a report somewhere, and they would, okay, great. He's doing really well on his health. So anyway, but I did it the hard way. But there's one man who's doing it the right way, and that is Mr. Manuel Sanchez. Let's welcome him here. Come on up, bro. Okay. I texted him yesterday. He said, sure, I'll talk. So this is great. Okay, he went. So tell us what was the deal at work? Huh? Tell us about
it. It was a health challenge. It was a 3-month health challenge that they've been having every so often. And about 7 years ago, the initial one, the first one that we ever had there, I participated in it. And I actually came in first place that time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was about 7 years ago. Yeah. And then what happened was, because of my knee, that I have a bad knee, I stopped running.
I
didn't get to keep it up. So and then that went, and then they started several contests after that, and I would start but not finish them because I just couldn't do it, because either my back or whatever this was, or just an excuse that I couldn't do it. But this time I decided I needed to do it because of, just the going to the doctor and having a physical done and just getting back the results of what was going on with pre-diabetic and the blood pressure was a little bit high.
Yeah.
So then the contest came about, and I was like, this is a perfect time to get started.
But this time you're going to do it without running, right? You have to do something with diet or something?
Yeah, well, actually I did both. I did cardio and I did eating. And so I was eating a lot of salad and a lot of chicken and not going out to eat McDonald's or... and then at work too, we get free snacks and we get free sodas and we get all this stuff too. But they also have some healthy snacks that we can get too.
Okay.
So I just not trying to pick on the snacks that have too much sugar on them,
right.
And then just eating like carrots instead of that, and just watching what I'm eating. So both eating and the cardio is what did it. Yeah.
What was your weight when you started?
So I started at 231.
And
I'm now at 205. Yeah.
So. 26 pounds.
Yeah.
Did Sylvia have to do anything different with food at home, or was it all him doing it just? Oh, yeah, so he wouldn't see you, right? So anyway, but the main thing was salad. So now, do you have a certain dressing you like, or certain,
just make my own salad. She buys a prepackaged salads, and then just the breasts, like chicken breasts.
You get the pre ones, the ones that are done?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't you proud of your men, that your men are taking the initiative to do this? That's pretty good. One son, one husband? Wow. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, let's thank this man. All right. Thank you so much, man. Oh, man. Yeah, I was also going to ask, Deanna's not here today, but, Deanna and Javier. Deanna, in 10 months' time, lost 60 pounds. And I just was amazed, I mean, she was not doing well a couple years ago with losing her kids and drugs and all this stuff and partying. And God has changed her enough that she, recognized, oh, wait, I have the power. If I want to, I can do something with my body, right? And so she now she was going to share, but she couldn't come today. So maybe later on, if she comes back, I'll ask her, tell me exactly what you did to change. Because I want to know, how did you do it? I mean, that's a lot of weight, 60 pounds. And, anyway, so I just thought you should hear that, and I just want to encourage you. If you find anything that's helped you in that regard, or any article that you read that was really good, or a book like that, your book, then if you'll email me, and I'll put that in our little, you know, little column, our article or something in the gate, because I just feel like moderation is something that we haven't. In America, we have the problem of obesity because we have all the gadgets to help us. You know, we have cars, and we have escalators, and we have elevators and everything. When I was in Turkey, you know, everyone's slender there because they have to walk everywhere. And there's no handicapped parking. You know, there's no handicapped help at all. And there's, and every, I think in Diyarbakir when we were there, all the apartments, you know, they have a little tiny elevator that sometimes doesn't work. And so you have to walk up and you go up and up with your groceries and stuff like that. But boy, do you get in shape. And people, even the missionaries, they, when they're in the field, right, Olga, you start losing weight because you don't have all the amenities that we have here. So what do? We have to find other ways to help ourselves, to encourage each other, to find things that, like delicious food. My motto is this, that if I can find something that will help me lose weight, it has to be delicious. If it's not tasty, then I'm not going to do it, right? Because it's just going to be, I don't want to eat this thing I don't like. It has to be really delicious. So one of the things I've done, Emmanuel, is every time I have salad and every time I order it in a restaurant, I get all the dressing that I want, put all the things that I want. I just say, I'm going to splurge on salad. So I love blue cheese, and sometimes I take blue cheese and vinaigrette and I put them together and whatever. So you'll find your way, but may the Lord help you may the Lord help us as a congregation to be at our optimum health so that we don't develop diabetes when it's not necessary. And like you know, you don't want to go that route because it's hard on your body. And that's Marianne. In 2 weeks from now, Dr. Marianne will speak to us about diabetes specifically and how we can prevent that from happening and stuff like that. So anyway, I just love that God's word gives us such practical things. Don't overdo it when it comes to eating, but enjoy what he has given us. And today we have paletas for your little refreshment, not because they're particularly low in calories, but because it's so hot. We have to have something to cool us down. So anyway, we have 4 dozen out there. All right, let me pray, and then I'll have, I guess we have then Daniel and Kobe, right? All right. Yeah, let's pray. We thank you, Father, that we've had this time.